Okay, we're reviewing today the Drush HaShneimasar. So it starts off, it's on Parsha Shoftim. It says, Ki palei mimcha davar lemishpat, bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega. If you have something that you are not sure about, in whatever area of halacha it is, divi rivas bisharecha, bekamta valisa lamakam ashayivcha Hashem lekechbo. So you'll go to the Beis HaMikdash, you'll see the Sanhedrin sitting in the Beis HaMikdash in the Lishka Sagosis, and that's where you'll ask your questions. So the Ran tells us that this idea of the Sanhedrin is the yesod of the whole Torah, it's the foundation of the Torah, because people are not going to always agree on what the halacha is, and therefore it is necessary to have a Beis Din, a Supreme Court, so to speak, that will make the final decisions of what the halacha is, and that's what the Torah is telling us with this pasuk, that you go to the Sanhedrin for the final psak. Anyone who disagrees with them is a zakin mamre, you kill them. So that's this pasuk about the Sanhedrin. However, the Ran wants to know, okay, this is very nice when the Beis HaMikdash exists and there's a Sanhedrin and you can go ask them and all that. What do we do nowadays? What makes us have to listen to the Chachamim nowadays who tell us stuff? Or even in those days, as long as the Sanhedrin were not in Lishka Sagazis, this pasuk doesn't apply. So how do we know that we have to listen to the Chachamim today? So the Ran says that comes from the general klal of Acharei Rabim Lahatos, that the Torah tells us, and he holds this is a biblical law, din midoraisa, that you have to listen to the Chachamim because it says Acharei Rabim Lahatos. That means you go with the majority opinion. Of course, it means the majority of valuable opinions. It means the Chachamim. So whichever the majority follow of the Chachamim, that's what becomes the halacha. And he says that's clearly for all generations. That has nothing to do with any one specific generation. That's in all generations. The Torah tells us, Acher Rabim Hatos. Okay. So now, the Ran tells us that this is the reason why we have to follow the psak of the Gemara, right? The Gemara, if the Gemara paskins a certain way, the Talmud, we have to follow it. Why can't we say we disagree? It's not the Sanhedrin. So he says it's the same thing that when you have, at the time of the Gemara, they had bazillions of rabbis. That's what he says, proofs from different Gemaras. When it says in the Yeshiva Beis Medrash of Rav Ashi, when people would leave, so there'd usually be hundreds left behind, and they would still say, oh, we're so much smaller than used to be. So his point is that there were, in the times of the Gemara, there were hundreds of super great Talmidei Chachamim around, and what the Gemara paskins is what they came out with as the majority opinion at that time, and so therefore we have to follow it min haTorah, because it says Acharei Rabim Lahatos, and they were the group of the greatest group of rabbis, Talmidei Chachamim of the time, and they were all there learning together, so their psak stays, unless of course if they would get a larger group and smarter group together, they could overturn it, but that's not going to happen. So therefore you have to follow what the psak of the Gemara is, because again that's when there were so many Rabbanim together, and we again have Acharei Rabim Lahatos, and you can only overturn them unless you have a group that is greater b'minyan, which the Ran understands as more, or Chachma. Okay, so, and the Ram points out, this is not to be confused with Lo Susser. This is a separate halacha of where the Torah tells us you have to follow the rabbis, Lo Susser. He says that's different than Acharei Rabim Lahatos. Acharei Rabim Lahatos teaches us that whenever the Chachamim tell you what the Torah means, so then you have to follow what the majority say, because it says Acharei Rabim Lahatos. When it comes to a new din, a brand new din, if the Rabbanan come around and make up a brand new halacha, so how do I know I have to follow them about that for a din d'rabbanan that they invent, like muktzah or something like that? So that's because it says Lo Susser, or Hanukkah candles, that kind of thing. We follow them because of Lo Susser. Okay, so now the Ran continues. That's which Chazal tell us that the Sanhedrin only functions when they're sitting in the Lishka Sagazis, in the Beis HaMikdash, that is regarding killing. But you still have to listen to Sanhedrin, rather than even if they're not in the Beis HaMikdash, because again of the Acharei Rabim Lahatos. And he continues that this is all about how great Chazal are. We have to listen to Chazal whether they're correct or not correct. Like the story, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah about Rabbi Gamliel, who said Yom Kippur is a certain day. Rabbi Shua disagreed with him and said, no, Rabbi Kippur is a different day. And Rabbi Gamliel forced Rabbi Shua to come to him on the day that he, Rabbi Yeshua, thought was Yom Kippur, so that there shouldn't be a machlokas in Klal Yisrael of what day is what. So that's why that shows us that you have to listen to the Chachamim whether they are correct or not correct, because he followed him because that's what the Beis Din had went with. So even if they're wrong, and that's the Mishnah there says, actually, and maybe in that case it's more specific to the halachos of the calendar, where you follow the Beis Din whether they're correct or not correct. But either way, the Ran wants proof from here that you see that you should follow what the Beis Din paskins. Even if it turns out in Shamayim the apathy will be wrong, we follow what the Beis Din says. And he says, now he wants to go explain the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Yud Beis, that says, Chacham Adav Minavi. It says, a Chacham is greater than a Navi. So what does that mean? How is a Chacham greater than a Navi? Chacham is greater than a Navi in that if a Navi makes something up and he's wrong, or what, you know, a Navi said, so we kill him. If a Navi says something that's not correct, he said Hashem said this and Hashem never told him that, we kill him. Whereas a Chacham, if he says something and happens to be wrong, we don't kill him, like he just explained. But he wants to explain further. The Gemara then goes on to say, Chacham is greater than a Navi. Okay. And Abaye says, how can I prove this to you, that a Chacham is greater than a Navi? I'll prove it to you because you'll have two Chachamim, two rabbis, living in different generations, some living hundreds of years later than the next, and they both come up with the same explanation of a Gemara. So, you see, Chacham is greater than a Navi. That's what Abaye says. Rava then says, no, that's no proof. Maybe they're from the same mazel. And Rava says, I'll prove it again. The Ran's going to explain every bit of this Gemara in detail, but just to say it, the Rava says, that's no proof. Maybe they're from the same mazel. Rather, I'll prove to you that a Chacham is greater than a Navi, because sometimes you'll have a Talmud Chacham who comes up with the same pshat or idea or halacha as Rabbi Akiva. Rav Ashi says to that, that's no proof. Maybe for this thing, for that halacha, they're the same mazel. So, rather, Rav Ashi says, the proof that a Chacham is greater than a Navi is that sometimes you'll have a Chacham who comes up with a halacha on Moshe Sinai. Okay, what does all of that mean? So he wants to explain. What does it mean a Chacham is greater than a Navi? So the Ran says, what it means is that we're trying to compare them. You can't compare, he says, apples and orange. You can't say, you know, I think his example was, this green is a stronger green than that red. Because, you mean stronger green than that green. You have to be comparing like things. So, we have to establish how a Chacham is greater than a Navi. He already told you why it's greater, because you have to listen to him. But in what way is a Chacham like a Navi? So, he says, Abaye says, a Chacham's like a Navi in that you'll have two rabbis living in different generations with all the hundreds of thousands of great rabbis who studied the same text, and no two people came up with the same thing except for these two people. So he says that shows that there's a certain amount of, we'll call it Ruach HaKodesh or Siyata Deshmaya or heavenly help when studying Torah to come up with what Hashem wants people to know. So that's the proof. Then Rava says back to them, no, that's no proof. Maybe they just have the same mazel. What does that mean, the same mazel? They're born under the same constellation, there, which means they were just the same type of hashpa, the same type of flow from heaven, of being having some similar characteristics. Like it says, someone who's born under the star of Ma'adim, Mars, will be a bloodthirsty person. So they have certain similar tendencies. So, of course, they're not going to be the same person, because they're each their individual own bodies, but they have the same tendencies, so maybe they thought of the same thing because they're under the same mazel. So that's no proof. So rather, Rava says the proof is that someone could come up with the same thing as Rabbi Akiva. And if Rabbi Akiva is obviously, even if he was the same mazel as you, but he's so much greater than you, it must be that it's from Nevuah. Rav Ashi says back to that, no, maybe for this one thing, they had the same tendencies just for this one particular thing, even though you're not similar to Rabbi Akiva, but maybe for this one thing you were. Rather, he says the proof is that someone could come up with a halacha Moshe Misinai. And the Ran explains that halacha Moshe Misinai, by definition, is lamayla mihaseichel, is something that can't be figured out logically. And therefore, if you happen to come up with it, it must be that you had some level of siyata d'shmaya. Okay, so he says, oh, a Navi is better than a Chacham also. A Chacham is better than a Navi in the sense that a Navi can't tell a Chacham that he's wrong, because we would say lo b'shamayim. If a Chacham thinks that the halacha is like him, and a Navi says, I was told in Shamayim you're wrong, we don't listen to him, we listen to the Chacham. because they don't. Our Torah is supposed to be decided by us down here. But a chacham can decide who a navi is, right? A navi can't tell us you're not a chacham and you're wrong, but a chacham can tell us who a navi is. How is that? Because the Torah never tells us, the Ran says, how to tell who a real navi is. The Torah tells us how to tell who a fake navi is. If someone comes in and says, "Hello, I'm a navi. Prove it to me." Well, tomorrow it's going to rain. So the Torah says, if tomorrow it doesn't rain, you know the guy is a false navi. Because if Hashem said something's going to happen, or if the navi comes in and says, tomorrow you're going to win the lottery, and then you don't win the lottery, you know he's a false navi. But that doesn't tell you how to know if he's a true navi, because if you won the lottery, maybe you would have won the lottery anyway. Just because he said you're going to win the lottery and you do win the lottery doesn't mean for sure that he's a true navi. So how do we know who's a true Navi? So the Chacham explained to us. It's given up to the Chacham to explain that he has to be, Chazal tells us he has to be a Chacham, a Gibor, a smart person, strong, tall, rich, all that stuff. And only tell us, the only mitzvahs he can tell us to do are temporary ones. Okay, so that's Chazal telling us how to understand what a Navi is. So in that sense, a Chacham is greater than a Navi, and then a Chacham tells us who a Navi is. Okay, end of that. Now the Ran says, speaking of Navua, so we, Hashem, by the order of the Psukim, you can tell the Torah is telling us we have Nevi'im as opposed to the Goyim. In other words, Hashem took away from us other types of spiritual ways of knowing stuff, like magic, Ma'onanim, Kosmin, doing type of magical things, or astrology, whatever, various type of spiritual things to figure out the future. So Hashem took that away from us and gave us the Navi so that we would have a leg up on them. We have something better. We have a Navi, and we don't have to go down to the dark magic and bad things like that. So, and the Naran says Hashem proved to us the use of Nevi'im in Egypt. Because Moshe came down, that's what the Gemara Menachos means, that Moshe threw down his stick and it turned into a snake. And the magicians, you know, all the other miracles he did, the magicians there originally said to Moshe, you know, You're bringing wheat into a place of where we have tons of wheat. In other words, they were saying, you come in here, Moshe, and doing magic tricks. We're the best magicians in the world live here. And the response the Gemara says was, if you want to show how great a flower is, bring it to the best flower spot in the world. In other words, if you want to show, if you have the top quality of something, if you have the best iPhone, I don't know, if you have the best phone, you invented something better than the iPhone, whatever. So the way you want, that you can really bring out the quality is not bringing it to a place that no one's ever seen an iPhone before, and then they can be, ooh, wow, but then you don't really see the quality because they don't know what an iPhone's supposed to be. But if you bring it to a trade show, they got all the best new phones, and you bring in your new invention that's even better than an iPhone and a Samsung and all that. So you've shown, you've brought out the true greatness of the thing you invented. So Hashem wanted the miracles that Moshe would do, the osos, the signs that he would do, to be in Mitzrayim, because to let everyone know that this isn't magic. How do I know that Moshe's not doing magic? Well, we took it to the place of the greatest magicians, and they figured out that it wasn't magic. Okay, so that's, we see how the greatness of a Navi, obviously he's not using magic, he's using what Hashem, the power Hashem gives him, or the Nevuah Hashem gives him, or the miracles that Hashem gives him, and then we see the greatness of a Navi. Okay, new thing. And now the Ran quotes another pasuk that says, "Lo yimatzi b'cha," continuing in this, that you shouldn't have, we don't have these magical things. So the specific pasuk is, "Lo yimatzi b'cha," you cannot have ma'avir b'no abito be'ish, kosim k'samim ma'onin m'nachish m'chashiv. Okay. So the Torah tells us you shouldn't have, now the Gran's going to explain every last one of these things. You cannot have someone, ma'avir b'no abito be'ish, that's someone who gives their daughter or son over to Avodah Zarah. Okay, that's easy. Kosim k'samim. What's a kosim k'samim? So a kosim k'samim is someone who does stuff, some weird actions, whatever weird stuff they do, to get it. To get some magic to know the future. I don't know exactly what it is. Then Ma'onin is someone who can figure out when it's a good time to invest and when it's not through magic or whatever, some type of spiritual thing. And then Menachesh is superstitions and omens. Mechashef is magic. And Chover Chover is using incantations. We're not allowed to do any of that stuff. Okay, fine. Now, the Ran wants to talk about, of all those magical stuff that we're not allowed to do, we use the Navi. It wants to talk about what Menachish is. Menachish, what's the Isser of Menachish? Menachish is, again, like we said, to believe in superstitions or omens, like the black cat crossed your path, and therefore did not do something because a black cat crossed your path. That's Nichush. So the Ran asks the question, if Nichush is a problem, so how do we understand the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadihei, which is the main place that it talks about this, or one of the main places, I should say. It says that Rav used to check, he would do Nichush, and he would check if the boat would come to him when he got to the port. So then that would, he would indicate to him that things were going to go good, and Yom Tov Alagav, things were good at home, or where he was going, and otherwise not. That sure sounds like Nichush. Sounds like a superstition or an omen. So how could that be? If it's Asur, how could Rav have done it? So the Ran answers an important rule. The only time Nichush is Asur, says the Ran, is when you are completely relying on it. If you are going to go to the supermarket, and because a deer crossed your path, or whatever other superstition you believe in, you decide, oh, I better not go, that's an Issur D'oraisa of Nichush. However, if that's not, if you're not relying on it, if it's just like, oh, you take note of it mentally, but you don't make any decisions based on it, that's not Asur. That's what the Ran holds. Again, this is very big. This is all brought in Yoredeya. I think it's Kufay and Tests, I think, where this comes up. Whatever it is, this is discussed in Shulchan Aruch. This Machlokes, we're showing them how to understand these things, but this is the Ran's understanding of what Nichush is. And if you're not relying on it completely, then it's not Nichush. As the Gemara says there, Kol Nichush, She'enu Keliezer Erved Avram, Uki Yonatan Ben Shaul, Enu Nichush. Any Nichush that's not like the type of Nichush that Eliezer Erved Avram and Yonatan Ben Shaul did is not Nichush. What those stories? Eliezer Ben Avram also did something that maybe is an omen or a superstition or something like that. How did he do? He said, Hashem, whichever lady, when I walk into the space, whichever lady offers to feed my camels, I'm going to marry her to Yitzchak. And that was his story. And Yonos and Menchol's story was he was going to attack, and he said, he was on the attack, and he said, if the army were coming against, if they say, we're coming to you, then I know we're going to lose. And if they say, come to us, then I know we can win. You know, if they say, come get us, we're ready for you, then I know we're going to win. If they say, stay where you are, we're coming to get you, then I know they're going to win. And therefore, he was going to decide whether to do the attack on that, based on that. So, you see, from both of those cases, they relied on their tests. Both of Sukkim, they relied on their tests completely. So that's what the Ran says, that's real Nichush. When you fully rely on the test you make, so then that's Nichush. So ask the Ran the obvious question. If so, you're saying Eliezer, Eved Avram, Yonos, and Menchol were big sinners? So he explains, no, of course not. What Eliezer, Eved Avram did, and Yonos, and Menchol was not a superstitious test. They weren't saying, if a black cat crosses my path, I know I shouldn't attack or I shouldn't marry this girl for Yitzchak. They were doing logical things. Their tests were not Nichush. They were logical things. That's not Nichush. To say, if like the Ran explains, Eliezer knew everything with Avram Avinu was always magical, was always with Hashgacha Pratis. And especially when the whole future of Klal Yisrael was at stake, Eliezer was going to, whoever Eliezer gave it, that ring was Makadish, betrothed to Yitzchak, would be the mother of all Klal Yisrael. So this was not going to go south. This was going to work out. He knew that. And, you know, it's almost like he could have just thrown the ring at the air and in the air, and some lady that would have caught it would have worked. But he made a test that made sense. He said, if a woman comes out who's young and is out doing work, and still she offers to help me and even to feed my camels, so she's a super balas chesed, she's the right one for Yitzchak, because that she fits in the house of Avram. So that was a logical test. Same thing with Yonasan. When he said, if they say, we're coming to get you, I know I'm going to lose, that means they're confident. If they say, we're ready for you, come get us, that means they're nervous, and therefore I'm going to win. So those were logical tests. So that's why what they did was not usher. But if you do a test that is illogical, like a black cat crossing your path, and you fully rely on the test, like Eliezer Eved Avram and Yonatan Ben Shaul fully relied on their tests, then for you it would be Nichush. For them it wasn't, because those were logical tests. Okay, that's who explains that Gemara. And the last part of that Gemara, where it says Rav Yochanan asked a kid, before he went on a travel to go meet Shmuel, he said to a kid, "Psokli, you know, tell me what pasuk you learned today, and based on that pasuk, that the kid said he learned in shul, in school that day, Rabbi Yochanan decided that Shmuel died and didn't go on the trip. Isn't that nichush? So Ran says, no, that's different. Asking a child what pasuk he learned in school is a type of nevuah, because nevuah even remains today by ketanim, by children. So he said that method is not considered nichush. That's actually a somewhat level of nevuah that's still around today. Okay. And without getting into the whole discussion he did there, I've just mentioned that he mentioned that, just explaining the verse that says, Nasi ba'amcha lo sar, when it says, again, this came up agav, we're not going to get into all the details, but when it said, you shouldn't curse, lo sakal al-chirish, I'm sorry, it says, don't curse a deaf man. So Chazal tell us that you're not allowed to curse anybody, not just a deaf man. So why did the Torah tell you don't curse a deaf man? It's to let you know that the issue is not so much about who you're cursing, because if a deaf man, let's say you're just alone, and you say, you bum, or whatever, he can't hear you anyway. So the issue is not that you're hurting someone because he doesn't know, but the issue is with you. You're hurting yourself because you're turning yourself into a bad person. In other words, sometimes when you get angry at someone, just by yelling and screaming at them, you'll make yourself feel better. The Torah wants you to not do that. Control yourself. Do not take nekama. Do not lash out at the person. And rather, control yourself. That's why you can't, even a deaf person who you aren't harming really by cursing him, you're not allowed. Okay. Now the Ran classifies all this type of stuff of nichush, superstitions, and ma'onin, saying this is a good time to travel, this is not a good time to invest, that kind of stuff. And man, all this stuff is, all these superstitious type stuff are all under the general group of Darchei Amori. That's what the Ran says. And some Darchei Amori are going to be okay, and some are not okay, as he explains. Because the Gemara says that it's the Gemara in Shabbos, says Abaye v'Rava Damri Tavayer, Abaye and Rava both say that anything that is Mishum Mirfua, anything that's for healing, Ein Bo Mishum Darkei Amori, there's no Isra of Darkei Amori. What does those words mean? Okay, so the Rambam says what it means is anything that is scientifically provable, that's what it means Mishum Mirfua. Anything that you can figure out from nature, it's scientifically showable, it makes sense. So then that's mutter. And any spiritual stuff, whether you tell me it works, it doesn't work, the Rambam happened to hold that none of it worked. But the Rambam says anything spiritual, anything that's not, can't be explained with nature, is Darchei Amori, you're not allowed to do it. So even if I would tell you, if you do some kind of incantation, it'll save you, and we did it 1,000 times, and we found it worked, the Rambam wouldn't care. The Rambam would say it's us, or it's Darchei Amori. And the Rambam also feels that the reason it's usher is because it'll never work, because he doesn't believe, the Rambam held that all these magic and stuff like that was nonsense and just tricking people, and therefore that's why the Torah ushered it, so we shouldn't be silly people. Okay, the Ran disagrees with the Rambam. The Ran holds that all of Shas is filled with Chazal saying stuff like that. Like Chazal tell us if someone gets a bone stuck in their throat, so you should put a similar type bone on the person's head, and say the special words, chad, chad, nachiz, bala, bala, nachiz, chad, chad, and the bone will go down. So that sounds like an incantation and spiritual and not scientific. And the Chazal told us certain things you're allowed to wear on Shabbos, certain things you're not, that are all spiritual type stuff. Like the fox, wearing fox teeth, and things that, whatever, certain things that are seem to be clearly spiritual, and the Chazal don't say it's us or Mishum Darkei Amori. So the Ran explains what the Gemara means when it says anything that's Mishum Refua, it means anything that's proven to work. Any physical, just like Tylenol is proven to work, if someone could prove that by saying that incantation, the bone will go down the throat, it's mutter, it's not Darkei Amori. The only things that are Darkei Amori are if you do something that doesn't work, isn't proven to work, like say some spiritual incantation that isn't proven to work, or if you have, even if it is proven to work, but what you're doing is talking to some malach, or trying, the way the Ram puts it, trying to be nosechein, trying to get something to like you, to be happy with you, some power in Shemaim, that's usher because it's Avodah Zarah. So that would be usher, Mishum Avodah Zarah, if you're talking to someone, trying to get them to be nice to you, that's Avodah Zarah, anyone other than Hashem, you know, some spiritual power. Or if you, if it isn't proven to work, both of those are Aser Mishum Darchei Amori. But the fact that it's not physical, that doesn't bother the Ran. As long as it's proven to work, it's fine. As the Ran explains, there are certain things that look spiritual to us, and they aren't like spiritual in the sense that they are spiritual, but you don't have to be a tzaddik. Meaning, if you take Tylenol, it will lower your fever. So that's totally physical. The spiritual version, the next level up that might look to someone as spiritual is a magnet. A magnet looks like it's spiritual, looks like magic. It's not magic, though. It's a physical force that God created in the world. Magnetism. Then the next level is something that is actually spiritual, but again, has nothing to do with whether you're a tzaddik or a rasha, or whether you're some malach like you or not. It's just like a magnet. It's a force that God put in the world, although a spiritual force. So if God put it into the world that if you say certain things, it will cause something to happen, that's a physical force brought in the world that will happen 100% of the time, whether anybody likes you or any spiritual, it has nothing to do with any spiritual force liking you, or whether you're a tzaddik or rasha. It's just a part of nature, a spiritual thing, but no different than any other part of nature. That's just the way it is. If you take Tylenol, it will lower your fever. If you use a magnet, it'll make something grow closer. If you say these words, it'll make something happen. That's just a spiritual nature, so to speak. Okay. So now back to the Navi. So the Ran says we have a Navi. So how do we know that it says if a Navi tells you to do something and you don't listen to them, you get killed. Or you get Misa B'nei Shemayim. So how do we know? Oh, I think you get killed. Oh, I forget already. Misa B'nei Shemayim or Misa. Anyway, you have to listen to the Navi. So how do we know who's a Navi that we should listen to him? So Chazal tell us the Navi has to do an os. He has to say, tomorrow, if I'm a true Navi, tomorrow either a miracle will happen or tomorrow such and such will happen, and it happens, then we know the guy's assumed to be a Navi. The other way is if he's known to be a Navi. In other words, like the Gemara tells us, how did Yitzchak know that he should give himself up to be killed because Avram said so? How did he know Avram was a Navi? So Chazal tell us because he was Muchzik. That's how Yitzchak knew. You don't have to have a miracle done for you each time. If either someone just comes off the street and says, I'm a Navi, they have to prove it by doing some kind of sign that comes true in the future or a miracle. But once a person is known to be a Navi, they don't have to do a miracle each time. You can assume they're correct and follow what they say, as long as it's not against the Torah, or they tell you, as long as they tell you a mitzvah that's temporary, you know, or something like that. Okay, so the Ran asks, how can it be that the Torah never hinted to this anywhere? Meaning these two requirements, that either he has to make a sign or he has to be known to be a Navi. It's such an important thing, because if you don't listen to a Navi, you're in big trouble. So how could it not be hinted to in the Torah how we know what a true Navi is? So the Ran says it is hinted to, because the Torah says, Ki yakum bekir b'cha Navi kamoni. It says, if a Navi will come to you, who is like me? What does it mean, who's like me? It certainly doesn't. Moshe is certainly not saying he should be like me, that he got the Torah at Har Sinai, right? We're never going to have that kind of level of nevuah again. So what does it mean if you get a Navi that's like me? So the Ran explains, it means someone who's like me, meaning when Moshe first got to Egypt, he made some signs to the Jews, made some miracles, right? He stuck his hand in his breast pocket and it came out white, and he turned the water to blood. There were certain few miracles Moshe did, and based on that, the Jews believed in him, and even did the Karban Pesach, which is, again, a temporary mitzvah. So we see from there how you have to believe in Navi. He has to do some signs for you. And after that, he doesn't need to keep doing signs. You just listen to him. So that's how it's hinted to in the Pasuk. When Moshe said it should be a Navi like me, that's what it meant, like me, meaning just like I was proven to you, same way I was proven to you by doing a miracle. That's how you have to know who a Navi is. Okay, and the Ran tells us that a Navi is limited in what he can tell us. He can only tell us to do a temporary mitzvah. If a Navi comes and says, today, I think you should put on a red... Hashem told me everyone should put on a red string around their nose. So if he says that that's a new mitzvah forever, then the guy's lying. It's a false Navi, because you can't make up new mitzvahs. If he just says temporarily, today, put on a red string on your nose, whatever, so then you have to listen to him. The other thing he cannot say is he cannot interpret the Torah and tell us, Hashem told me that this is what the Torah means, because it's lo b'shamayim. They can't tell us what mitzvos mean. And this we know from the Gemara that says that when Moshe died, 300 halachas were forgotten from Klal Yisrael, and the Jewish people told Yeshua, go ask in Shemayim what they are. And Yeshua says, I can't get them from Shemayim. You can't make up new halachas once the Torah was given, there's no new mitzvos coming down from Shemayim, or even explanation of what the Torah meant. You have to figure it out. You have to either have a Masorah, or as the Gemara says there, Asniel ben Knaz figured it out with his pilpul. He was able to figure it out on his own. But a Navi can't tell us through Nevuah even what the Torah means permanently, because it's lo b'shamayim. The Torah's not in Shamayim, it's down here on earth. And the last thing that the Ran says in this drasha is that it says, the Torah tells us that if someone says they are a Navi, and Hashem told me to do such and such, and he says, I'll prove it to you tomorrow, something will happen. And the Torah tells us, if tomorrow the thing doesn't happen, then you know the guy is a false prophet. So the Ran qualifies that's only talking about if the Navi told you something positive. If the Navi said, tomorrow you'll win $1 million, or tomorrow your child will get engaged, I don't know, something positive, and then it doesn't happen the next day, so then you know the guy's a false prophet. But if the Navi tells you something negative, if the Navi says tomorrow this city will be destroyed, or tomorrow someone will be plagues or whatever, and then it doesn't happen, that is not a proof that the Navi is a false Navi, because there's a thing called tshuva. If people do teshuva, so even though the Navi told you something's going to happen, if people do teshuva, then it won't happen. So the only way you prove whether a Navi's false or not is if the Navi tells you something positive will happen, something good will happen, and then the good thing doesn't happen, then you know the Navi was a false prophet. And that's how we know our eventual Geula, that Hashem told us He will redeem us eventually, that cannot be changed because it's something positive, so the Navi tells us it will happen. That means it for sure has to happen.